How far and when should I put myself out there to give trust a chance again?
Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Brandon, you're looking great today.
Oh, man. Wow. Thanks, bro.
Those flowing locks are just like, man, they're really nice today, man.
Hey, you got like the long arms. You got the like really sharp mind. You got like all of the good stuff. All I got was the hair.
I wouldn't go that far.
Like dad put all his jeans, all his good jeans, like into the first one, like, but here you go. And then like he saved the hair for me.
Well, you're capitalizing on that for sure.
Well, hey, I gotta use what the one thing I got, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, so we have coming pretty quickly, Tyler. It's crazy. The new year comes and like it just like quickly the year starts going by. And one of the things kind of around the corner here, but not too far, is Radiant Dawn. I mean, it's going to be here quickly.
Yeah, it's moving up on us quickly. By the time this episode launches, we'll probably be within just a couple of months of it. And it's basically our premier thing that we like to put on. We do a men's retreat and a women's retreat every year, and this is the women's retreat, and it's awesome.
Yeah. And we like to not say too much about what it is because we want people to come somewhat ready and open and vulnerable. And but I'll say this, no one's ever died at it. it's actually a lot of fun. You end up with a lot of good friends. You end up with a lot of good experiences, education, and I think just groundbreaking soul work that really shifts you. So it's something that is absolutely worth coming to. If you're considering it, you're just on the fence, then sign up. Let's do it.
Yep. Go to radiantdawn.org. Take a look at it. Get your pass. We would love to see you there. Brandon and I are there. We run all of the curriculum there, and we would love to see you.
Yep. All right. So let's get into this episode with Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thank you.
We were just saying we forget what number the episode is that you were on, but we'll put in the show notes your first episode when you came on. If you could just kind of fill us in and tell us what's going on now and just kind of give us the context of what's going on in your life.
Brandon, really quickly, it was episode number 260.
Good job, Tyler. Yeah. Nice work.
Okay. So since the last episode, not a lot really has changed. We're just kind of stuck in this pattern. I can't really speak for him because I don't know how he feels. I don't understand the way that he feels. But from my point of view, I feel like we just haven't moved. There's, you know, when we first kind of got into this recovery 4 years ago, you know, there were certain things that I needed that didn't really happen, that he fought really hard to not have to do certain things. You know, and these were just things that I felt were important. And, you know, I would ask the girls in my group, hey, is this okay to ask? And I would just kind of follow their advice. And so, you know, we're at 4 years now. And as I look back and I see all of the pushback and the, you know, the just kind of effortless recovery, I feel I'm being pushed to trust because it's been almost 4 years. And so some things that I feel I question myself, is this really okay? Do I need to let loose a little bit? I just recently, one of the biggest things was social media and being online, and that was one request that I had of him to not be on Facebook anymore, but we have a business and he's wanting to be a part of that. I carried, you know, the marketing aspect for so many years by myself. And it was great, but he's wanting to be a part of that marketing stuff now. And I finally, the other day, just caved. It got to a point where he was like, if you don't allow me to be on Facebook and market the business, then we just need to end the relationship. So I said, okay, we'll get you an account set back up. And, but Tyler said, mentioned the other, asked him the other day if there was a way for him to still do it and be safe. And there is. But I mean, he's just wanting like full access to everything. And so I don't know. I feel like I had to pay.
Okay. So I'm not hearing safety and trust in what you're talking about. Like when you say I have to cave, between the two of you, I'm not hearing trust there. Is that?
Yeah, I'm still at a point where I don't fully trust him. And
okay.
It's just, he feels like these last 4 years, you know, I should at least trust him now because he has not looked at pornography in, you know, 3 or so years. And, but he has still relapsed and he has, you know, still remained angry and, you know, those other things haven't improved. And, you know, he feels like I need to make a bigger commitment and marry him now. And, but that trust just isn't fully there yet. So I don't know at what point, like what do I need to do?
It sounds like you're also feeling some pressure, maybe not just from him, but from other people in your life to lean all the way in back into the relationship to kind of, you're asking, how much should I trust what my gut's saying here in terms of things don't quite feel safe yet to me, but I also am feeling this press to move deeper into the relationship because there's been sobriety for a number of years, and you're wrestling on the inside with yourself as to how much discomfort is the right discomfort to lean into to keep moving forward with building trust, and how much of this is actually my gut saying it's not quite there yet. Like, I don't really want to lean in yet. That's what you're wrestling with. Is that right?
Yeah, because I feel when I do try to lean in and get vulnerable and talk about the things I need to, I'm not able to do that. He won't allow me to. He still gets, you know, defensive and angry. And
Jennifer, I kind of want to take a step back, just ask you, why are you in a relationship with him? Like what motivates you to be in this relationship?
I mean, I love him, and
What is
we've
that?
been.
What does that mean?
It means that I care about him, and I feel like it's unconditional. Like no matter what happens and what he does, I'm still gonna have that love for him. You know, we've been through so much. We've been through drug addiction together, and a business. We built a business. I mean, there's just I can see more in him than he can see in himself.
Okay. Is that connection and that relationship? I'm just double checking with you. Is it worth fighting for? Is it something that's a positive to you? Or at this point, is it like, well, you know, getting out of this relationship means changing the business. It means starting fresh. It's like such a pain in the butt. Like I might as well make it work with him. But it sounds like your answer is you actually see him, you actually want to be with him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and I mean I'm
Mm-hmm.
aware that that change would mean a lot of work. But I feel like if that was ever necessary, I'd be okay to do that. But I just no, I honestly feel like, beyond his faults and imperfections. I love him as a person.
Okay. As much as he'll let you love him though, like there's another side that's like you don't really know him because he gets defensive and it won't be vulnerable with you, and so there's a lack of trust, which means there's a lack of intimacy. It's kind of like you can feel his soul, you can see him, you want to be close to him, but you also don't feel safe in that relationship to be that close with him. And so it's this kind of like, you know, on one hand, are you settling for scraps when it comes to connection? And on the other hand, you're seeing him and you like you see who he is and you love him. So there's both those things going on, correct?
Yeah, could I let me just paint like the picture of a scenario that's pretty typical for a lot of couples, and just tell me how much of this fits for you, okay, Jennifer? So two angles to look at it from. The first angle is this. If, I'm going to look at it from his angle first. He's climbed out of the hole, the pit of despair. In fact, I think he was on a different episode and he told some of this background. So he climbed out of homelessness, he climbed out of drug addiction, he climbed out of like all of this stuff, and now he's been sober for 3 years. So if we're looking at it from the bottom up perspective that he's been climbing from, he's climbed up several rungs of the ladder to where he's now living with you. He's maintained some type of gainful employment. He's been
Running a
sober from
business.
drugs. He's been running a business. He's been like sober from pornography for several years. And he's looking at it from his perspective, going, look how far we've come. Look how far I've come. Like, why can't you see me? Like, why can't you see? Well, you should trust me right now because look at all the stuff I've done. Meanwhile, you're over here looking at it from a different angle from the top down and going, dude, the ladder has like 12 rungs on it. You've climbed three. Like, why don't you climb steps four, five, and six too before I start offering my trust? Like, maybe you should start working besides sobriety on actually working on empathy and connection and humility and putting an effort towards actually changing some of these patterns that are still stuck in our relationship. And he's looking at it from like, I'm sober, and you're looking at it from, well, sobriety didn't take care of all these secondary things that came with the addiction, which would be all that shame, defensiveness, everything else. And
Yeah.
so you're going, I don't know if I can fully trust yet because it feels like I'm living with a dry drunk, so to speak. And he's going, man, you never get off my back. Like, why can't you see me? How does that feel or fit with you, Jennifer?
It's exactly right. It's I always think about, he feels, he's done so much, and he has. I was right there, and a lot of times when I think back to that, that's what shuts me down. Like, I think, well, I don't want to hurt his feelings because I know that he has gotten through so much with the drug addiction, and he's made it so far when it comes to the drug addiction. And so I always start to feel bad when I ask him for things, or I say, hey, I'm not ready to get married yet, or I'm sorry, but I don't fully trust you. Usually I don't talk about it a lot because then I go back to think, well, he did get off drugs and did this. I don't want to shut him down and make him feel that way. And then I start to feel bad for needing to talk about the betrayal and, how I need to heal from that and gain his trust. And, so it makes me feel like sometimes I just need to just give in and say, okay. So I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to shoot him down because he has done a lot.
But that, I just want to say and acknowledge the three rungs of the ladder, Tyler, and what you're saying, Jennifer. Like, climbing those three rungs of the ladder, like he is a resilient warrior. Like he is a badass. Like to be sober, to go from where he was to where he is, like huge mad props to him. Like that's incredible. And the principles of trust and healthy attachment still hold true. So good for him. That is amazing. I love a man that gets as far as he's gotten. And as his partner, Jennifer, it doesn't mean that then you have to say, oh, when it comes to like trust and safety in a relationship, like I don't need what other people need because he's come this far. And if we talk about what those principles of trust are, and if we really break them down, which we can right now, you might look at it and say, yeah, like there is a level he can still level up. The good news is he knows how to do some excruciating work. The good news is he knows how to shift, he knows how to change. And if, you know, if he listens to this, I'm going to say this, he may have done the easy part.
Yeah, that's
Do
probably
you know what
what's
I
it
mean?
might be scary for him, actually. Yeah.
If addiction is an attachment disorder and we start saying, okay, getting sober and feeling your feelings and dealing with your emotions and knowing yourself, like, yeah, that's hard. But now let's talk about really being vulnerable in a relationship. Let's talk about really being honest in a relationship and empathetic and those type of things, which then will push him even further to deal with some demons. You know, fears of rejection and abandonment and some of his trauma, right? And that's what you kind of represent. So if I can keep you at a distance with some of these things, you know, and Jennifer will still love me, but I can keep her at this distance, then you get put in this position that you're in your relationship. And you're saying, hey, I want more, I think. I don't, you're also saying, Jennifer, I don't know if my wounds and my stuff wants more. And I want to look at myself and say, how much do I create this distance? And then we also want to look at him and say, how much is he kind of keeping you at an arm's length, right?
We got into a terrible argument the other night, and one of the things that he said, he still is an escaper on his phone, and that's he says, he feels he should be able to escape when he needs to because that's the only way he knows how to deal with things. And so he said that his anger and escapism should have nothing to do with his porn addiction or trust. And I feel like it all has everything to do with everything, And so, All we do is just argue about it, and we just get stuck.
What are you arguing about, Jennifer? Like, what are you, like, you're in there saying you shouldn't be on your phone?
Well, I tell him what I usually say is, 4 years ago, he made a promise to me that he would just, he would slow down his phone usage, because that's it, to me, it feels like he's still looking at porn, but now it's just music videos and for sale, things for sale. And, and he doesn't understand that. He doesn't see correlation between the two. So, and then when we talk about why he feels like I need to be giving him more trust, and I explain to him, well, you have remained angry all these years and I still can't talk to you, he feels that that should have nothing to do with trust building, because he hasn't looked at pornography in the last couple of years. And so that usually just turns into a big explosion.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I have a feeling Brandon's going to have his own thoughts on this, but hearing that again, he's proud of himself for the work that he's done. And let's get into like a little bit about what trust is and what it's not. My take on trust is that trust is an ongoing thing that gets nurtured and nourished, and it includes certain principles. And those principles include things like humility. They include consistent effort and action over time. They include things like the establishment and practice of empathy. And we should always be working on something to be improving ourselves. And what the scenario that I'm hearing painted that Brandon just described a little bit, I think is, you step out of the darkness a little bit when you get sober, but then you have to start looking towards moving into the light, which is creating the life that God designed you for. And if the life that God designed you for is to be on your phone all day or play video games all day or go shopping on the classifieds all day, then you should own that and then be married to the person who goes, yep, you're living your calling from God. But if that's not your calling, then you need to take a look at those things, and you approach those things the same way that you just approached the other addictions. And you say, you know what, I'm gonna have some bottom lines around this, and I'm gonna hold myself accountable, and I'm gonna be changing a few things at a time, maybe not all at once, but I'm gonna be committed to something, and you're gonna be able to see my effort, and you're gonna see the fact that I'm stepping into my manhood now rather than just having gotten sober. And if you see those efforts, then that builds trust. There's something proactive about the building of trust rather than just the avoiding of the negative behavior. So I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It does.
Well, we got to be careful, because to me, what's underneath those efforts? Like, that's what we really need to look at. Like, because you can't mix codependency with trust building. So I'm and Mr. Nice Guy. So I might be looking really good by doing all the things, and I'm actually destroying trust in a relationship. But like, it has to start with genuine, like, authenticity. Like, it has to start there, and then everything else. So Tyler, coming back to your example about looking at the classifieds all day or playing games on your phone or whatever. If that's your purpose, then own that. Well, we need to ask where does the answer of that being your purpose come from? Does that come from your wife telling you that that's okay to do? So now it's, yeah, that's my purpose, 'cause she said I can. Does it come from like, I just want to kind of get through life and numb it out, and so I can escape, so that feels good to me, so I'm just going to do that because it feels good. Like, or does it come from somewhere else? And when it does, like, Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly where I think you're going, Brandon, is a man who's actually in real recovery is in an ongoing internal wrestle with himself and his higher power to uncover the truth about who he is. And when he comes to that and says, okay,
Independent of his spouse.
Independent of his spouse. So if he comes back and says, hey, me and God had a chat, and God told me that I should be the biggest bargain machine on classifieds in the world. I'm gonna break records. I'm starting with a paperclip, and by the end of the year, I will have a brand new car.
I'm gonna have a Ferrari.
And that's what God wants me to do.
Then he needs
to own it, because he's gone and gotten those answers from God. But most guys are gonna sit down and go, huh, God, you want me on my phone 7 hours a day playing video games? And God's gonna say, I got more planned for you than that. Like, I'd love for you to actually step in and be
chances are he won't even go ask that question to God, because he'll just be busy numbing.
He'll be too unwilling to go ask the question, because he already knows the answer.
And then a spouse comes along and says, hey, like, is this really is this okay? You know? And so there's a reflector there. Right. Yeah.
So the wife might act as a reflection, but she can't be the only reason why you make those choices.
And that's where the codependency will come in, though, is like, well, okay, the friction with the spouse is now going to change. Okay, so now I'll try to do both worlds. I'll hide what I'm doing, or I'll begrudge her because I have to.
She made me
do something different. Now she made me. And then they're showing up like a little boy, like a little broken boy. And so when it comes to their partner, what do they actually need to do, Tyler?
they need to be willing to submit themselves to that internal wrestle, and then come back and share their intentions with what they're going to be doing to move forward with their life. And then the partner can say, that works for me, that doesn't, because this is who I am. And then two people can come with the I am this. Do we overlap? Yes. Great, we're going to have an awesome relationship. No, dang it, but at least we know. That's the work.
Too often we believe trust is built on a couple of things that drives me nuts. And one of these things is a good thing. One of these things is not. Sobriety. So like him coming around being like, hey, Jennifer, I've been sober. Like, come on now, trust me. That has nothing to do with trust building, believe it or not. And then the other thing that they think builds trust is compliance. Okay, you tell me what to do, and so I'll be a good boy and I'll try to do it. That actually destroys trust.
Yeah.
It's counterproductive to the trust building process.
Yeah.
Right? Now, rebellion to the spouse and defiance, that doesn't build trust either. Neither defiance nor compliance builds trust. Trust is built on strength. It's built on integrity. And you can think about it in like a real tangible way. You know, you're going to trust something because it has some power. It has some strength. I can drive in my car because it holds form and it's going to take me somewhere. And I trust that it will hold that form and it's not going to crumble. I'm not going to get in that car if it's made of jelly and it's, you see what I'm saying? And so if you come along, Jennifer, and this is one of the trickiest parts for betrayal trauma and a partner, is you need to know whether there's strength there or not. And sometimes you can actually get in your own way to discover whether there's strength there or not, because of your fears and your stuff of like, I need him to be a trustworthy partner. And so I need to make sure that he's not on Facebook, or make sure that he's not on his phone, or make sure, because I need to make sure that he's that, right? And so then when he doesn't get on Facebook and then, you know, hates you for it, but then he throws
There's
in your
no
face
trust
that he's not on Facebook, like, we're not building trust at all here.
Yeah, that's how it's been.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, these last 4 years, he's just been doing it all because I said so. It's never been because he's wanted to do it, and he's just been demotivated.
Then don't do it, right? Do it for some, don't do it because of me anymore. Like, have that boundary with him. Like, I don't want you to do it for me. I want you to do it for you. Like, your recovery, I'm handing that over to you. That is yours. And I want a man who has that independent of me. If you were to die today, would his recovery persist? You don't know that, right, Jennifer?
No, he's actually, if what you're saying, he's saying that if you weren't in the picture, I would be doing all of these other things.
Yeah,
you're getting an answer.
That is an answer.
You're getting an
answer.
Yeah. And that's the hard part about this is that he's coming and saying, I've only done all of this so that you'll stay off my back. And then he's also, with the definition Brandon's just been giving about what trust is, he's baffled that you don't trust him.
Yeah.
And what Brandon's saying is if he was doing the hard work to actually listen to what you have to say, take that back to between him and God, and then come back to you and say, hey, I heard you on this, and I can see that you're worried about this, and I feel like I need to be right here with what I'm doing. And then he holds that shape. That actually has a chance to build more trust than the other way around. Like, oh, she said to go this way. Okay, I'll go do this today. She said to do that. Oh, I'll do this tomorrow. But yeah. I'll hate her both ways, and I'll resent her both ways. There will be no trust established there.
Yeah.
But he has to be in a spot where he's willing to go and then be honest with himself when you come and you say, hey, I'm a little worried about how ready you are to bring back all your social media, given what our history is. You know, I would love to know what your plan is. I would need to know, like, it's gonna be really hard for me to lean in if you go back to the same patterns you were using.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now he gets to go, ah, oh, I really want to bring it back. And there's definitely some pros. How could I make that like work for both of us? Because I feel like it's important that I get back in the marketing part of this. Okay, here's my new bottom lines, and I'm going to hold these things. And you may not like that, but if you see him actually holding them and following through with his intentions, there will actually be some trust that get reestablished if he's consistent with following through with what he said he would do. That's the integrity piece.
And then mix that, Tyler, on top of that. This is where attachment gets good. I'm going to hold the boundary with you and say, look, I'm going to get back on Facebook. And then like a man who can really build trust and is in recovery can really empathize with how scary that is for you. Like, I want to step into how scary that is for you, because I know you're not going to control me by your pain and how you feel. Like, I'm going to actually sit in it with you, but I'm still going to be honest with you about where I'm at and what I need. And I'm sure that I have those feelings. But I care how scary that is for you. So think about that, Jennifer. If he were able to hold that space with you and understand how scary that is, like truly, like really empathize with you. And he came and he said, this is why, this is where I'm coming from. This is why me being on Facebook is important. You would feel safe, probably. I don't know. What would you feel?
Would feel safer.
Safer.
For sure.
Yeah. It would still be scary.
Huh. Right.
But if you mix, okay, I'll comply, or F you, I'm doing this whether you like it or not.
Yeah, no empathy.
And then I'm not gonna connect to your feelings around this at all, then you're feeling less safe as a result of this thing.
Right. That's what it is.
So the missing piece here. Oh, go ahead, Tyler.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Well, the missing piece here is him knowing him knowing his truth, and then him opening up and sharing that with you, and then empathizing with you and him knowing you, right?
What you just described, Brandon, is like high level recovery work, because it means I have to balance two things at the same time. I have to know who I am and accept who I am, and I have to be holding empathy and saying, I see you and I want to be with you and I want to see you. And I have to merge both of those things sometimes when my choice doesn't line up with your desires.
Mm-hmm.
That's really difficult to do if you're not doing all the other work, the shame resiliency work, the wrestle with God, the I am work. You have to be doing that in order to even get to the platform of holding that space that you just talked about. Because Brandon, when you use the term all the time, hold space, what you just described is what holding space actually is.
There's a correlation between how much codependency I have, or in other words, how much I'm using my partner, and my undealt with trauma wounds. So there's a correlation. So when you see it a lot, that means there's still some wounds there that need to be dealt with. in understanding who somebody really truly is. So it's a good way to look and say, okay, I still have some work to do here because I'm still using Jennifer, or I'm still using my spouse or whatever for my okayness. And so now I want to go back to that in therapy, in my own personal work with God, and look at this and say, okay, what do I need to know? What do I need to heal? What do I need to let go of? I want to back up just a little, Jennifer. I feel like we're kind of just like, boom, we're really going far fast here. Where does this leave you? As we're talking, for you, like, what's your next step? Like, where do you go from here, right? So,
Because I hear all this wonderful stuff that's not here. So it's like I fantasize about, him saying, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And this is, we're not there yet. So it's, I did ask him once, if I wasn't here, would you still follow your recovery? And he says, well, yeah, but I would do it the way I want to do it, which anyway, yeah, and he just gets so frustrated that he was cursing God the other day. And, we we go to church, part of a worship band, and it was scary. So I just, I just need to know what I need to do on my end. Like, how do I out saying what I need to say? And if he agrees to it, great. If not, then I need to probably take some space if that's what needs to be done. I don't want to fight with him, but I don't want him to be angry, but I want to feel safe.
And you both want trust. If we were to ask him, he'd probably say he's asking you for trust.
Yeah.
So part of your answer to your question lies in the same things we were just talking about, but for you too. So what does Jennifer need in order to know more about who Jennifer is so that she can stay firm in the knowledge and the truth of who she is? And invite him into that space.
I just need to look back over my values, I think, and a lot of times I feel like I set those aside just to I set those aside just because it's easier sometimes, but in the long run, it's actually harder. I feel like I
Excellent.
need,
Go ahead,
personal.
Jennifer.
I just said, I feel like I need to do deeper work on my end.
That's what I was gonna ask you. It's like in what ways, we're talking about him and him being codependent. In what ways are you using him in the relationship for your okayness? And a lot of like, if you want to know whether he's going to choose you over the addiction, you don't do that through force and like making him choose you. You want to back off and see.
Yeah.
And when he says, I want to work recovery, but I want to do it my way, then you back out and you say, okay, like, I'm going to detangle myself from this. Like, I'm not going to be in everything. I want you to come and choose me. I don't want to grab you and force you to me. And you can see how hard that can be for you, because in that moment, when he has his ups and downs and he's trying to figure out how to do that, you're going to have to deal with your own fears and your own stuff that says, okay, I don't like I he might abandon
What if he
me, he
doesn't
might
choose
reject
me?
me. Yeah. Yeah.
That's scary.
It's scary to be boundaried there. But if you believe that you're worth being loved and you know that, then if he doesn't choose you, it'll be so painful, and you'll know, like, I'm okay. Like I'm still okay. And so when you have that strength, then you can be that boundary with him and give his recovery back to him. So you're absolutely right, Jennifer, for you to look at and say, okay, what deeper work do I need to do so that I can disconnect from the unhealthy attachment that we've created in this relationship, and then allow a process of actual trust building and healing to start to take place. It's almost more about what you stop doing at this point than what you should do, right? And then start the process from there.
The doing, all of the doing, I think, Brandon, that would be warranted is internal doing, not relational doing right now. And then the rest of it is actually surrendering and giving that space to see if he wants to step into that space with you rather than, because right now you're in the game of like you chase him and then he fights you and pushes against you and then has a justification for why he runs away from you all the time. What if you just held your own space? And part of how you do that is by doing your internal work. Part of by doing that is actually, I love what you said about your values, getting clear on your values and not compromising on the values themselves anymore. So you can still see him. You have a value of loving him. You have a value of seeing him. You have a value of wanting to see the good in him. Keep doing that, but don't sacrifice the value of also being seen, of feeling safe, of, you know, being heard or listened to. Don't compromise on those things, which means you can still have a voice in the relationship. You're just not going to control it him anymore. You're going to control your response when he does or he doesn't come towards your values.
Because sometimes I struggle inside. I think to myself, okay, is this really a value or am I being selfish? And do I need to give 50%? And he give 50%. Sometimes I can't distinguish if it's something that I truly need or am I being selfish? Am I able to let go a little bit? And so that's when I start questioning myself and feel crazy.
I think to differentiate between, is this my intuition? Do I feel peace about this? Do I feel power? Do I feel confidence? Or is this my fear? Like, is this a
Yeah.
fear response
Is this
pushing me into?
compulsive or has this got peace behind it?
And that, to really trust yourself more. Like, do that work to say, I'm okay to step in to do this. Or I really need to back off. I'm self-aware and this is something I'm going to detach from. To practice that for you. Can I give a quick little story analogy? I was skiing over the weekend and we were at the top of the mountain and I've skied with my kids for a little while, but I'm a protective dad. Like I don't want my kids to get hurt or fall or whatever. So like I'll ski usually behind them just in case they fall, I can be right there. And we're skiing and my kids are getting to the point where they're getting pretty good and they're like, hey dad, like and we were at a place where there's a lot of black diamonds and stuff, and they're like, hey dad, just like let's just go explore. Like we'll go down these black diamonds over here, meet us at the bottom of the mountain. And I'm like, well, yeah, I could just, I'll follow, like I'll just go where you go, like. And they're like, no, like just go that way and we'll go this way, meet us at the bottom of the mountain. And so I do, and I'm thinking like, God, what if they like, fall down a mountain, break a leg, like whatever. Anyways, to make the long story short, I get down, we split up. I get down to the bottom of the mountain, and my kids are waiting there for me at the lift. Like, hey, Dad, where you been? And you can kind of see where I'm going here. Like, I had to let them go. And then it was so much more comfortable for me to trust, like, hey, they're good enough. Like they know what they're doing. Like they're getting pretty much better than me when it comes to skiing. So like here I am freaking out and they're like, they're fine. And it doesn't mean that they couldn't fall. It doesn't mean that bad things couldn't happen to them. But me hovering over them isn't necessarily totally making sure that they don't fall. Right. And so it's that same kind of vulnerable principle that we have that has to happen in order for us to know whether or not we're safe in those relationships. Right. And it's hard, Jennifer, but you're strong enough to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
I do too. So one last suggestion, I know we're just about out of time, is that as you're doing your work, I like what you said, do your own internal work, work on letting go of controlling his behaviors, but still have a voice. So have a voice and then follow through on your values rather than having a voice and making him do something else. Have a voice, have an opinion. This is scary for me. I'm probably not going to be able to connect real well. Well, you don't trust me and I've been sober for 4 years. Yep, I know that's where we're at right now. I'm being honest with you. Do your thing. Let me know. Go wrestle with God. And the fact that he was cursing God the other day is a great sign. That's a great sign.
The part of the wrestle.
He's wrestling. He's gotten, the more you let go, the only place he has left to turn is within and with his wrestle with the higher power. And if he's doing that, he's going to curse God because he knows some of the answers are going to require some really hard work.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Let that wrestle happen. That's all right. He needs to come to himself. So you can get out of the way and let him come to himself, even if that means he falls a few times on that black diamond. It's going to be okay. So thank you. It's a good topic today, Jennifer. Hopefully you got some value by coming on today.
I did. Thank you.
Jennifer, take one step at a time. Okay. So like what I'd suggest is go work this out with a therapist or a group member where it's like, hey, like I realize like the systems that we have with rebuilding trust isn't working. What's the first thing that I need to do? And it might be, I just need to strengthen up my dailies, really feel good about where I'm at. Or I need to connect more with God, make some space and just, or whatever it is, like here's my first step. And then here's my bottom lines or my boundaries that I'm not going to step into with him. And then here's my truths and my values that I want to live. And so you take one step at a time. Okay. All right, Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You too. Thank you.
We'll see you.